Hey, what's good? This is Rich, and I'm here with Wim, and this is Q&A from the Paychecks and Balances podcast. So this is where we feature your questions from the various platforms, ask.fm, email, Twitter, Facebook, however you find us, carrier pigeon, text message, GChat. Well, we hope you aren't finding us all on our personal chat platforms because that might be a little bit weird. But if you have questions you'd like to submit to us via email, you can hit us up at info@paychecksandbalances.com or ask.fm/paybalances. So we're going to start with a ask.fm question. But first, how's it going so far? Good, sir?
Very well. Very well.
I know it feels like we've said this a lot of times and we will say it many more. But yeah, let's jump in with ask.fm.
So from our ask.fm/paybalances account, if you'd like to submit one as well, how do you handle a situation where someone that does not report to you isn't doing their job, but it is impacting your ability to do your job? I feel like an ass going to their boss, but is there any other way after you've talked to them several times?
Escalate. I think you have to escalate.
Yeah, I think in this scenario, when I first read the question, had it ended at impacting your job, I mean, have you had talked to them? But it says right here that you've had several conversations. And I think, you know, you have to separate the personal from the professional. And I think in a professional work environment, you have to get over what I'm going to call the fear of being a jerk, because what you're really being is professional. And it's the other person who's being unprofessional. And you simply have to escalate your professionalism to get them to do their job. Like, we are paid a salary. I think I was listening to a public speaker, and he said something to the effect of a salary is a bribe that people give you to do your job. I mean, and that's it. Like, this person's making a salary to do their job. And if they're not holding up their end of the bargain, then, yeah, you've got to, like as Rich said, escalate or talk to their boss or do whatever is necessary to get them to do their job. Yeah. Having a reasonable expectation for someone to do their job at their job is not unreasonable.
Yeah. So how do you feel about the whole documentation thing? So I'm big on documenting. So if I talk to someone in person, following up with an email, you know, because I want to show that there were repeated attempts to get what I needed from this person before I took it to that next step. So how do you feel about the documentation part of it?
Big. I don't do it the first time usually.
Yeah.
But once I get a feel for a person's work ethic or style. So usually if I have a conversation, I'm going to send it, and I'll let them know. I'm like, hey, I'm going to summarize this in an email just so you know. That's just something I do anyway. So I have a record of it, and not really like an HR record to get anyone in trouble. That's literally so I can remember myself, because a lot of times if I send out an email, I'll put like a status reminder on it, you know, to go off whenever that due date is or whatever we talked about, or it just may remind me in a week. So that's another reason I do it. But you're right that then it also, should it need to be escalated, I do at least have that starting point. But I don't do that for everyone. You know, I tailor to that person's how we interact at the job. Like, if that person is consistently unreliable, I know that I need to document it because they're unreliable versus documenting it just to capture the conversation.
Yeah, man. Sometimes you just got to CC someone's boss. I know it's like, I feel like I'm snitching, because sometimes I hate when people do that to me, especially when it's like before the deadline and I'm on track with everything. And I'm like, yo, why you got to CC my boss? Like, I was on top of this. Like, what are you trying to say there? There's no reason for my boss to be looped into this. She's not even part of this project. Like, why are you pulling her into this other than to throw shade at me? It's not the type of life I want, but sometimes that's what you got to do, you know, and maybe that's like the last reminder where it's like, hey, I know we've talked about this a couple of times, whatever that exchange is. And then if you still don't get the information you need, the boss is looped in that there's been delays, and I'm sure you go and you should actually have a conversation with that person too, and just kind of explain what the situation is, why you need what you need and what's been done so far. And of course, you want to loop your own boss in, you know, to make sure that they know that you've taken adequate steps and made adequate attempts to try to get what you need from this other person so that you can get your job done.
Yeah. The only thing I would potentially add, or at least to keep into consideration, is communicating in the same way that you were communicating with the person. So I wouldn't send the first email, shouldn't be to them and the boss.
Right. Correct.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's one thing. So if you talk to this person verbally several times, I would bring it up to, like you said, the, your boss, if they need to be looped in, and then their boss verbally, and then their boss might say, okay, yeah, can you put that in the emails? Because they may prefer that way. But what I wouldn't do, because then that looks like that's the first email you've ever sent, and then the boss is CC'd.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a really critical distinction. So, you know, sometimes it is appropriate to flag it in an email, but not the first email. And usually where I've had to escalate, it's usually on like the, sometimes it'll be like the third attempt. You know, some people may do it on the second. It's all about what the situation is and how critical the project is. Sometimes I may have a couple of follow-ups with the person. And then on the third one, I'm just like, hey, I just wanted to follow up with you on this, blah, 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 blah. And I'll CC the boss. And oftentimes when I have sent that email with that boss CC'd, I have given that person a heads up that I'm going to be CCing them on an email. So it's not like a complete surprise and they already have the context beforehand.
Yeah, there you go. That's what you're trying to avoid, the surprise.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully this helps. I believe this person also asked us a question about resources that we have for dealing with office politics. And I don't know of any, I haven't read anything specifically on office politics. How about you, fam?
I started to read, honestly didn't finish it, although it gave me like one of the best insights was the old school one, the Win Friends, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's a classic and I'm sure it's, either been rewritten or, you know, what's it called when someone uses that to write their book. So I'm sure there's all kinds of forewords and versions of it, but, that's actually a pretty good one. I just didn't finish it because I read the original one. I just thought it was a little bit, I felt that it's a little bit out of date for this time, but it did get a lot of helpful information out of it. So that would be one that I recommend. And yeah, I don't have too many managerial or office politics books I've read. A lot of it that I've gotten is honestly on the job experience, or I'm actually probably more aligned with mentoring and networking, because that tends to be more niche specific to your profession. So if you can identify someone that you're comfortable with in your chain of command or in your office, I guess it doesn't even have to be in your chain of command, that actually might be greater insight because they can give you specific tailored advice to this office environment. Someone who's senior to you and that's been there longer than you. So senior and longer, it tends to help as well, because they can say, okay, I understand the situation. Here's how I would handle it in this specific environment.
Right, right. I think if I had to suggest a book, and at first I was going to say I don't have anything, but then you mentioned How to Win Friends and Influence People. I thought about this book I read called Never Eat Alone, which is much more about networking generally and building relationships. And I just think with office politics, relationship building is a big part of that. And it doesn't have to be fake. It doesn't have to be cheesy. It doesn't have to be you shaking hands and kissing babies to try and campaign for a role in the office. It's just having good relationships with people so that when you need things, you can get them. When you need help, there's people you can go to, and vice versa. And when you need people to speak about your performance or interacting with you, or if you're a good colleague, you have those types of folks in your corner. So this question, it also ties to something that we talked about on PB2. So, well, I guess I've never used that those initials before. So that's the Paychecks and Balances episode 2, where we talked about work flaws that stop people from getting ahead. So definitely check that out in the feed as well. But yeah, hope this is helpful to this listener. Now, we did also get a question via email from Yonce. So that's not the person said don't use their real name. And they're like, you can call me Beyonce if you want. So I'm just going to go with Yonce. And so again, to send us questions via email, info@paychecksandbalances.com. So this question here. Hey, guys, longtime fan of TGOS, Two Guys, One Show, and happy to see you figured out how to separate the topics in the two different shows. My question is about applying the jobs. Sometimes when looking at openings, I come across two or more positions I'm interested and qualified for. Should I apply to all or pick the one I have the best shot at? I don't want to miss out on an opportunity with one position because I've already applied for another, but I also don't want the hiring manager to think I'm just throwing my resume out all over the place. Help! Thank you. So this is one that I come across quite a lot at work, and given that we have several positions that are posted that are similar in nature, it's not uncommon for me to see someone apply for four or five different positions. And it doesn't mean that that person's a bad candidate. Now, where it does disrupt people's chances of getting ahead is when I see someone apply for an email marketer role, a software engineer, an admin assistant, a desktop support specialist. And it's like, all right, like, what is it that you really want to do with your life? or what is it that you're really trying to do here? So clearly you really like the company, or clearly you just really want to work, but you're all over the place. And then on top of that, they're applying for each role with the same exact resume. So I think it's fine to express interest in multiple roles at a company, but your background should really be aligned with those roles, which it sounds like in your case, they are. And it's also possible that maybe it's different hiring managers who are reviewing the applications for these positions, or different recruiters. And even if they do see in the system that you've applied to multiple roles and they look at your background and the resume that you've submitted with each application, they're going to be able to tell that, okay, you know, this person, this is in the ballpark of this person's experience, and you're not going to automatically be dinged for that. But what about thoughts on this one? Maybe even from your experience when you were looking for new gigs recently, did you find any situations where you applied to maybe two roles at the same place?
Yeah, so I can speak to this both sides. I've done it and I've seen it done. So that was actually a great comment about ensuring that you're applying for roles that align with your experience. But as far as applying for multiple, with that caveat in mind, applying for multiple jobs, that, I mean, that definitely doesn't reflect poorly on the candidate for us at my company. And I don't think it ever has, as long as, like you said, they are reasonably qualified for the positions they're applying for. Because another thing is, on the back end, and I don't know how it is for y'all, we have requisition numbers. So you literally have to apply for the open position that you're interested in. Now we can interview you for another one that we have open, but we've got to use that rec number. So they're literally, if there is two jobs posted on our website, even with the exact same title, those are two different positions. They could be in two different agencies. They could be, like you said, two different hiring managers. So yes, if you're interested in both of those, you would either need to apply to both, or because otherwise you're relying on the hope that I even know there's another open position out there. Like, I don't, another company or another, actually, division doesn't have to let me know they're posting a position, and I don't actively go out and see what other divisions are doing. So if there's two positions out there with the same title, that could be coincidental. So I would say apply for both if you're qualified.
Boom. So short and simple. So good luck with that. I know it's job hunting season, and I know we've had this question. It's been there for a little bit, but we should be caught up now. So again, if you have questions that you'd like to have us cover on the Q&A show, you can submit those. Again, info@paychecksandbalances.com, ask.fm/paybalances if you want to submit anonymously. And you can email us from your email account and say, please keep anonymous, and we'll do that. We haven't put anyone on blast, to my knowledge. So if that works, and the other good thing about emailing us, I know with ask.fm, there is like a character limit, so it'll make you like spread the message over like multiple questions, which can be a little bit annoying. But anything else you want to add before we close this one out?
Not this week, sir.
All right, cool. So if you found this useful, definitely remember to share the show with your network. There's probably someone that you follow or that follows you that could benefit from the conversations that we're having on Paychecks and Balances. And also, if you're enjoying the show, make sure to drop by iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. If you don't know how, you can visit paychecksandbalances.com/review. Hit us with the 5-star, say a few words about the show, and we may read yours on the air. So again, thanks for listening. Until next time, be safe. We out. Peace.